People came and went up and down the hall. No one paid any attention to him. He was unremarkable in his homeliness. A thin gray man in a baggy brown suit. Sad eyes that stared at nothing. Kenny Scott, the public defender assigned to represent Carl Dahl, burst into the hall, looking like a man whose execution had been stayed. Logan followed him a moment later. Logan was a force of nature, big, commanding, full of fury. His brows slashed down over his eyes. His mouth was set in a grim line. He leaned forward as if he were walking into a stiff headwind. Dempsey stood up. "Mr. Logan?" For an instant, Logan glared at him, then slowed his march and veered toward him.
"Detective?
I heard maybe a ruling was coming down on Carl Dahl." Logan glanced away and frowned. His tie was jerked loose at the throat, collar undone. He pushed his coat open and jammed his hands at his waist.
"She didn't dismiss the case," he said.
"There was a chance of that?"
"Look, Stan, you and I both know Dahl butchered that family, but we don't have a hell of a lot to prove it. His lawyer has to move to dismiss. That's his job."
"What about Dahl's record?"
Logan shook his head. He was clearly pissed off. "Judge Moore seems to think it's inflammatory and prejudicial."
"Being on trial for a triple murder isn't?" Stan said. "A lot of folks figure if he's sitting in that chair, he must be guilty."
"It's a game, Stan," Logan said bitterly. "It's not about right or wrong. It's about rules and fairness and making sure no one has the common sense to form an opinion."
"Can you appeal?"
Logan shrugged, impatient. "We'll see. Look, Stan, I've got to go," he said, reaching out with one big hand to pat Dempsey's shoulder. "Hang in there. We'll get the son of a bitch."
Dempsey watched him go, feeling defeated. He looked back down the hall toward Judge Moore's chambers.
He wanted to go in there and talk to her.
He thought he would tell her in great detail the things he had seen and the terrible waves of emotion that bombarded him all day, every day, and all night, every night. He could see her, sitting behind her desk, looking cool and calm, the desk acting as a buffer between them. He would politely introduce himself, because he never expected anyone to remember him. He would tell her how disappointed he was in her ruling. But then he saw himself exploding, raging, storming behind the desk, eyes huge with shock. She bolted, tripping as she scrambled to get out of her chair and run. He trapped her in the corner, her back against a cabinet, and screamed in her face. He wanted her to feel the kind of terror Marlene Haas must have felt that day when Carl Dahl had come into her home and tortured her and her two children over the course of several hours before he had butchered her. Rage built and built inside him like a fire, searing his organs, melting the edges of his brain. He felt huge and violent and monstrous inside. He saw himself wrapping his stubby hands around her beautiful white throat, choking her, shaking her. But no one passing by Stan Dempsey saw anything but a bony man with a heavily lined, expressionless face, loitering at the end of the hall. He cleared the images from his mind and left the building to have a cigarette.